can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
No need to fake it.
You can never it down.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Oh, man. This isn't the show I wanted to record, which is why I haven't recorded this week. Hey everybody, it's me, Rose. And, I don't know if you slogged through my last 2-hour episode again. I'm sorry. Sometimes I talk like I have a lot going on. Doesn't mean that there is. The end of, it was a wheezing sound with my inhale. The last episode, I kind of felt like I was sounding like more of a cuckoo pants than normal. It's the technical term for me, cuckoo pants. I'm cuckoo for cuckoo pants. I've had some coffee. It's 8:40 in the morning. I've been awake since 6 a.m. There you go. Let's not have this be another 2-hour episode. I'm very sorry. So remember in that last episode, I worried about sounding like a cuckoo pants because I had been talking about how I'd been leaning forward on the bus and kind of keeping my hands around my neck and I just had this really uneasy feeling on public transportation. For some reason, I was fixated on having my throat slashed. And I think I recorded that episode on a Wednesday. And that Friday, on TriMet, public transportation here, the MAX, the light rail line, it was called the MAX. Three people were stabbed. Two of them died. And, I'm pretty sure the guy was trying to behead them, maybe. Either way, it was my stabby fear come true. I'm sitting here patting my belly as I talk about this, because this is not a good time to not have access to therapy. Let me just say that. It's been tough. So that happened. Two people were murdered and one was, fighting for his life. And the height of rush hour, it made national news. I think it made international news because, of course, the women that he was screaming and yelling at were of color. One Muslim, don't know about the other. Here, mixed things, it doesn't matter. He was yelling all these horrible, hateful, racist, bigoted things. And the day before, he'd thrown a soda or something at some black woman on the platform of the MAX. And so he obviously has a lot of racism in his heart. And he's also fucking crazy. That kind of really needs to be talked about a little bit. I'm not denying that he's not, a racist piece of shit along those lines. But, maybe if his mental illness had ever been addressed, maybe that wouldn't be there. Because the guy's obviously also, I believe the technical term we came up with earlier was cuckoo pants. If you've seen this story in the news, in which case I'm sorry to be boring you with what you already know. So there's footage that I had already seen. There's been a couple of local free speech rallies, pro-Trump rallies, assholes getting together with their flags rallies, whatever. And And our local free weekly, the Porklandia bacon. Wish I had some bacon. Okay, back on track. So our local free weekly, the Portland Mercury, which I read even though I'm far older than its demographic, because, you know, it's aimed at hipsters. It's aimed at the millennials. That's how I keep my skin so fresh and dewy and young-looking. I read the free weekly of the millennials. I rub the ink all over me. So they had gone to one of these free speech rallies, and this guy, I think Christensen is his last name. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just another hateful human being. So he was at this rally wearing, I believe he's wearing an American flag as a cape and swinging a baseball bat, which I think the police took away from him. And when I saw the footage originally, because the Portland Mercury was like, hey, we went to go cover this rally, and here's what these guys were doing, and here's what the anti-fascists, anarchists, whatever, Black Bloc is like the old term for them, not African-American Bloc, those lives, Black Bloc Lives Matter, sorry, coffee. So they, you know, there's all this footage from that day, and they posted it online like that day. This was like back in April, and the dude, like I said, he's wearing an American flag as a cape and kind of just stomping around. And he, like, I was like, oh, that guy's batshit crazy. Like, when I watch it's like, yes, I'm hearing all the hateful things coming out of his mouth, but that guy's batshit crazy, and he's completely out of control of his behavior right now. One of the giveaways was the fact that you could not see his neck because it was completely wrapped in chains. Now, I'll admit, you know, back in my early 80s hardcore punk rock days, I knew boys who wore chains as belts, and they realized that was heavy, and so they stopped. But not this guy. He has it wrapped all the way around his neck. So maybe he also goes around living in fear of having his neck cut on public transportation. So he decided to go on the offensive with his own knife and stab two dudes to death in the neck a couple of months later after that footage. Guy has a real criminal history. He's batshit crazy. He's batshit crazy. Hey, surprise, it got me thinking. Hey, shocker, I did some thinking. There is kind of the old sociological adage of men end up in prison and women end up on pills or over-medicated. And that's kind of how society deals with mental illness. Guys don't get treated for it. Guys don't ask for help. If you have privilege, why would you think there's anything wrong with you? You know, privilege doesn't always serve you well when it goes unchecked or taken for granted, because it's like, why ask for directions? Why look at a map? I know everything goes okay for me. That kind of... And women, on the other hand, they, you know, you got to keep them compliant and taking care of the kids and taking care of the man. And so, you know, put her on pills. You know, that's Dexatrim in the 50s and 60s. And anyway, so I guess what I'm saying is it's a really good thing that I'm not a white guy. I know, I never thought you'd hear me say that, right? I'm so glad I'm not a white guy. Because that means at least, like, with my PTSD and my depression and stuff, because, like, I walk around afraid. and feeling powerless and vulnerable and fearful in ways that most men don't, because the whole sexual violence thing. And so when you already walk around with a body at risk, you're not going to behave in a way to put your body even more at risk. At least the healthier side of the PTSD people won't do that kind of thing. Raising my hand. But then there's the other side of it where you act out, and that's what obviously this guy did. This is not what I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to. I'm so sorry. I really should just put this in my little dystopian story. Can I just say that while it seemed like a great idea to cope with contemporary crisis at hand by writing a story kind of set in the near now, future now, it's also not relaxing. I mean, it's kind of cool when I go out walking and I see something and I think, oh, let me make a note of that when I get home, because that could be like this thing. And I'm happy to say I've got about 20 pages of notes. Yeah, I'm not just talking about it. I've actually been doing a little bit of it. But it's like I'm not ever taking a break from the horrors of the world, and that's not good. And now I've lost my train of thought, so maybe it wasn't all that important. Oh, yes, PTSD. Here's the thing. If you're a young man, if you're a child who's grown up in violence, and then you live in a neighborhood of violence, and then because you're of color, you're also a target of the people who are supposed to protect you. And if little kids that you play with grow up to be teenagers who, you know, have become killers for a variety of reasons, or into drugs, or all sorts of scary things, by the time you're 11 or 12, you've got PTSD. And so, yeah, men will act out with it. And so, hey, we love gangs. And then when you look at war-torn countries, and again, you look at how young some of these kids are actually going to war, let alone growing up in it, these are also all people with untreated mental illness of PTSD. And I don't know, what can I say about that except that it's had me thinking. So there you go. Not the episode I wanted to record. Because, yeah, it really sucked when it's like, oh, here I was worried about this thing and I thought I was weird worrying about it. And then 2 days later, stabby, stabby, the exact thing I've worried about happened. And I think I mentioned before that my friend Spike and I had talked about how we always feel more uneasy riding the MAX versus riding the bus. And my theory was because you can't see the driver on the MAX, you know, like you're sitting in a MAX car and there's no driver, there's no quote unquote authority present. And so that's where I've seen a lot skeevier behavior. And when I do ride on the MAX, I try to get like the single seats, so there's not even a way for somebody to sit next to me. Or I stand, I just go on the offensive. Because, yeah, I of course, I have gone out since that attack happened, because I can't give in to how much I just really wanted to stay home. So, yeah, let me look back at my date book here. Did I even do anything that Friday originally? Oh, yeah, actually, that Friday Morning, I went to the grocery store and I ran into Charles. Lucky me, I ran into Charles. And I just said, hey, I do better alone. That's why I haven't contacted you to do anything. And, I got a voicemail message from him. He's getting a dog. I don't even want to talk about it. Here's another thing that I forgot in regards to that whole little Max incident. The Hollywood Max station is a sketchy one in general. There's been at least one stabbing there in the parking lot before. There's a 24-hour gym, like, overlooking the parking lot, so it's a well-populated area, which you would think, like, might drive down some of the criminal behavior. And across from the Max, there's a big, there's a Trader Joe's, I think. Yeah, a Trader Joe's. And they used to let a lot of transients panhandle and stuff on the sidewalk because they want to be like good hippies or whatever. And then they realize, oh no, these guys are like doing drugs and nodding off and shitting on the sidewalk, you know, stuff like that. Like there's actually a porta potty there at the Hollywood Max station just because it's become such a frequent place for transients. And it kind of like seemed cleared out for a little bit, but it's picked up again. Anyway, that's also a place where my bus goes, where I catch my bus. I'd been there twice that week. Yeah, I'd been there twice that week. When I went to the Sunday Book Club, that's in Hollywood. It's at the Hollywood Library. But I don't use that Max station at all because I feel so uneasy there that I worry about somebody pushing me on the tracks. Like, yes, that's right. Little Miss Cuckoo Pants will take longer to go places in order to feel safer to do it, which is also a really great thing for Cuckoo Pants to do. So it's kind of like I can look at it both ways. It's insane that I do that. But it sucks that I have to do that. But I do that. So there you go. Still moving forward, just slower. That's okay. We're not going anywhere. The world's ending. Fuck it. I had been in it. I'd been at the Hollywood Library for book club on Sunday. And then and it was at that Max station that the broken woman got on the bus and sat next to me and zeroed right in on me. Yeah, that was where she got on the bus. That's the other thing. When I catch the bus or have to get off in Hollywood, I never do it at that Max station bus stop. I will do it a few blocks away. Again, I will make a trip slightly more difficult for myself to avoid fucking triggers. Because they're not just triggers. They're obviously dangerous situations. Fuck. It sucks being cuckoo pants and realizing, no, your gut instinct is right. Reality is that shitty. And now that whole Max station is a giant shrine, understandably so, and it just makes me want to avoid it even more. So, and then I forget what the other reason why I'd been out at Hollywood the week before. I could look at my thing. It was when I went walking with the group of the olds. It's when I walked back from the walk with them, back home, or to the nearest bus stop, whichever came first, I ended up catching the bus in Hollywood. Not again at the Max station because I know that it's fucking terrifying there. Fucking 4:30 in the afternoon, height of rush hour. Bad shit happens anytime, any place. So why not go to Paris? My cat's very excited right now. Oh. back to the walking group real quick. I'm just like with the gardening group, I'm quitting the walking group. Yeah. That's one of the awesome things about doing this podcast. It is kind of my substitute for therapy, I guess, where I talk through something and that's when I realize, yeah, it's a bad idea for me to keep doing this thing. Because when all I'm doing is complaining about all the people in the group and it's a group walk and I'm doing it because I want to hang out with people, but I'm not liking any of the people, then hey, that's a thing that I should not do. That makes sense. Because I realize I can actually get the maps of where all these walks are in safe, posh neighborhoods and do them on my own. Which is what I did on last Thursday. Last Thursday I walked 6 miles. Yep. Cause I'm in training for Paris, man. That's kind of what I originally wanted to talk about was just how awesome it is to kind of have every sentence begin or end with, because I'm going to Paris. Like, I can't go squander money in a bookstore here when I'm grocery shopping because I'm going to Paris. I can't eat all this fattening food because I'm going to Paris. Although I ate 2 donuts yesterday because I felt I deserved a reward because I did so much fucking laundry. And when I do laundry or I vacuum or take a shower, I feel like I'm a superhero. I know. I have a really low bar of what my existence is. It's just they're things I hate to do. So when I do them, it's awesome. I used all 3 washing machines yesterday here in the apartment building. You know, it sucks using apartment building laundry machines because they're not so great for your clothes, which is why I hand wash my thrift store vintage stuff. But it is really nice that instead of just, you know, when you live in a house, you have one machine. Well, here in an apartment complex, you've got 3 machines. And I did my laundry so early yesterday morning, like fucking 6:30, 7 a.m., that I knew it wouldn't cock block anybody else. And I got everything done. All my stained stuff that I use for when I'm dyeing my hair, all my sheets, all my... I don't need to go off on this tangent. But I did all that because I'm going to Paris. I haven't booked my flight yet because I want to wait for my check to go through. I'm just making sure that I'm leaving myself padding and for financial budgeting stuff. Because when you're poor, that's what you're going to do. And, you know, one of the things that I was gonna say is I'm going to go to the food bank, even though I don't need to, but I'm going to go ahead and do that just to start stockpiling because I'm going to Paris. But then the whole Max thing happened, and this week I just didn't feel like sitting in a waiting room of transient men who are mentally unhinged. I decided not to super trigger myself because I'm going to Paris. There, was that the nice positive spin, maybe? Timing is everything, you know? God damn you fucking Max murderer. Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. The day before that happened, I had ridden that same Max line. Cause I was like, I'm gonna make myself go out every day and walk and explore new areas and ride public transportation. So that way I've like immersion therapy, dealing with my anxiety. So that way I'm better prepared when I go to Paris. And so that Thursday I walked 6 miles. I ended up in an I got lost and was totally chill about it. Saw a different part of town that I hadn't seen before, walking around the fancy Reed College campus, the Bybee MAX station. I took the MAX out to Milwaukee to use the bathroom there at the library that I knew was there. Like, I used all my, you know, I used my resources. I used my brain being out there in the wild. It is weird just kind of going out there with, like, well, where am I going to go today? Not even protected by a car. Sure does make you feel vulnerable. Stabby, stabby. Fuck. So, yeah, so I took the MAX to Milwaukee, used the bathroom there, realized I didn't really feel like walking around there anymore, so I took the bus home. No, I took the MAX downtown and walked around even more and then took the bus home. Yeah, I covered 3 different parts of town in one day, just like if I were in Paris, where I could also get stabbed or, you know, blown up or anything, because it can happen anywhere. Life is so cool. Yeah, fucking loving it right now. Jesus fucking Christ. So yeah, so then Friday the stabbings happened after I was out on my errands. Manzies. And Saturday I did not turn on the news or the TV at all. It was so weirdly quiet because it was Memorial Day weekend and I think people were just gone, that I just enjoyed silence and vacuuming, very slow vacuuming, so I didn't, like, nerve damage, freak out my hands. I paced myself because I'm going to Paris. I can tell I've woken my upstairs neighbor. He's walking around now, so now I should talk quieter, which maybe is a better sounding voice anyway. It's not really quieter, is it? I don't know. So that was Saturday. And then Sunday, I thought, hey, you know, I have this 500-page, very dense novel to read for the Hollywood Stabby Murder Book Club. Maybe I'll go out to Laurelhurst Park and sit and read. Because Saturday morning, and that Sunday morning, it'd been blissfully quiet on the patio, and I'd gotten some reading done. I was like, why don't I go to the park and do that? But then I was kind of thinking, you know, I just don't feel quite good about going out in the world today. I'm still feeling a little vulnerable, what with the whole stabby news of the day before yesterday. I'll just stay home. And so I'm sitting on the patio and I'm reading Glass Bead Game by Hermann Hesse, if anybody cares. And then I'm also, like, reading some background notes on existentialism and going, yep, still resonates. Yep, just like it did when I was 19 years old. I'm all about being an existentialist still. Guess I landed on it right way back then. Good for me. Certainly makes sense in these times. Okay. So I'm sitting there on the patio and I'm reading and I hear a helicopter overhead. And one thing that I learned living in Berkeley, on the Berkeley-Oakland border, is that when you hear a helicopter, that's not a good sign. And I also learned that from when I got held up at gunpoint managing the bookstore in Oakland, because when I was on the phone with the cops, they told me to evacuate the store. So that way, when they were there, since the bad guy had escaped on foot, as far as I could tell, I didn't know if he'd gotten into a car. Then the cops told me that they were going to be sending a helicopter overhead, so to evacuate the store, so that way there wouldn't be a hostage situation, you know, because if the bad guy saw the helicopter and said, I'm going to run back in the store and hold everybody hostage, because that's how I want to live my life. So yeah, I know that when there's helicopter means manhunt. You know, unless you're living in the D.C. area, and then it could mean a military situation or the president's coming home. So there was a helicopter, and I pulled out my good friend PDX Alerts on Twitter, home of machetes, mayhem, and murder, and masturbation. And sure enough, the Laurelhurst neighborhood was on lockdown. Yeah, the Laurelhurst neighborhood is where the Laurelhurst Park is, where I was going to be sitting and reading and had decided not to because I was feeling too much like a scaredy pants, what with the whole stabby. Yeah. I guess I made a good decision to stay on my patio. Actually, I went inside because the Laurelhurst neighborhood is not that far from my own. And people travel quickly. So, yeah, apparently some guy had been walking around the neighborhood, like brandishing a gun, and the cops had fired at him once and he got away. And then they saw him again and fired again and he got away. And so the neighborhood was on lockdown for about 10 or 12 hours on Memorial Day on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon on a holiday weekend. Locked down until about 5 p.m. Yeah. And that's the thing. Laurelhurst Park also has had a lot of transients camping there. I stopped. That was like a lot of places I've just stopped going to because I don't want to deal with transient men. I know, broken record. Sorry. But it had been kind of, you know, swept. And I go by it enough on the bus or walking from one place to another without actually dipping into the park that I can tell it's not as sketchy as it had been this time last year. But there's still, you know, there's still like maybe half a dozen people there, you know, versus like several dozen people there. And all it takes is one asshole with a gun to shut down an entire neighborhood. Because that's the thing about this area is everybody has overgrown gardens. I guess that's why people in that rich neighborhood have the such cleanly edged gardens that I was criticizing last episode. Because, you know, you can't hide in open space. And here it's very, very dense and lush and green and pretty and great to camp out in. Great to camp out in with your machetes and your guns. It's pretty great. So Monday was Memorial Day. And let me clear my throat. Sorry, I'm so gross. So Sunday was Memorial Day. And my throat's still going to sound like this. And it's the one day of the year that the Wilhelm... Yeah. That doesn't sound Third Reich at all. Third Reich? Third Reich and roll. Okay. It's the one time of year that the Wilhelm Funeral Home and Mausoleum is open to the public. That's right. A fucking mausoleum. And it's huge. It's like 4,000 Fitbit steps huge or more. It's huge. It's multiple floors. It's this whole crazy maze. It's me going on vacation for a day, as far as I'm concerned. Because it was also, I'm going to Paris. I took a different bus, that route that I don't normally take. So I kind of got to see this whole area, and part of it was retracing where I had just walked the previous Thursday and gotten, I won't say lost. I just didn't get to my intended goal, you know, but I didn't have a hard and fast goal so much as I just was walking around. But so I got to see, you know, I just got to see more stuff and an area that I want to go back and explore again, where I feel safe to explore again. I didn't see any transients. I didn't see any RVs cooking meth inside, which, yeah, that really, we have traveling meth labs here. Welcome to Portland and our traveling meth labs. We all love Breaking Bad when it comes to life, don't we? Sure we do. So, So yeah, so it was, that made it kind of fun and exciting. Like, oh, I'm going on a different bus. And I wore one of my cute dresses that was really wrinkly. I just don't iron. I'm the worst. I wear like the cutest thing and look like the biggest schlub because I don't iron. And my shoes are so scuffed up and I just don't polish them. Like, it's, I'm half-assed. Really, I'm super half-assed. But it's still, I was wearing my cute dress and it was a beautiful cloudy day. I'd wanted to go to this mausoleum before, you know, like the two previous Memorial Days that I lived here, but either I was in a shit mood or it was insanely fucking hot. And I knew that it would not be cool and comfortable in this old ancient ass mausoleum, which is true because it's, everybody in there was coughing because there's so much mold and mildew because the air circulation is really poor. Windows are cracked. They had fans in the windows. You could see like water stains and stuff. And so you just don't want to really think like what's behind those nameplates, you know, with the bodies and the such. But, it was just like, again, it was like, oh, here's a safe place for me to walk around and get out my nervous energy without worrying about getting stabbed. That's cool. I like that. Nothing like hanging out with the dead to feel so alive. Okay, sure. When I got there, like walked right in. And the first thing I saw was the bathroom, and I was like, hooray, because I took two buses to get there, which wasn't, it's not like a long trip, but it's just, it's two buses, it's half an hour. I drank a lot of coffee before I left. I had to pee, all right? Get off my tit. So I'm there, and I see the bathroom door occupied, and then I look up to the right where there's this first little room that you dip down into for where the one of the mausoleum trails begins. Like, it's just this crazy, like, it just keeps going further and further down, down, down. It's like four floors. Well, it's like actually eight levels. Yeah, it's fucking bonkers. So the first room that I looked at while waiting for the bathroom, I looked over and it was the Rose Room. Yeah. There's another room that's the Wisteria Room, and there's other rooms. But it was the very first room that I saw in the mausoleum was the Rose Room. And I felt so safe. And then there was this whole Scottish troop of men in their kilts and their bagpipes and drum corps and such. And they came marching and playing in like super loud, because of course it just echoes everywhere from the marble in the mausoleum, like just the sound bouncing everywhere. It was so awesome. It was really just, it was so grand. And so they came in and did their thing, and I kind of, oh, I had a little moment of thought for that coworker of mine back at Freightliner who was Scottish and did Scottish pride things, like he wore a kilt on some high holiday, but he also blew his brains out in the cubicle at Freightliner where he worked, where we worked. Yeah. So I thought about him, and which was, like, that sounds really harsh and depressing, but actually it was nice because he was a nice person. And that seemed like a very appropriate time and place to think of somebody, whatever. And I took a lot of pictures. I know, you're like, what can you take pictures of nameplates? Oh no, there's things to take pictures of because people leave little signs and notes and cards and flowers and... maybe I'll put some of them up on Twitter. Because, yeah, you know, people leave things on mausoleums. They tape them to the plaques or whatever, just like when you're going to a cemetery, to the gravestones. And here's a fun fact. I've never visited my dad's grave. Yeah. Yeah. No, I could not even tell you where he was buried. Yep. That's how my mom dealt with that. Mm-hmm. That's how my family dealt with that. Yeah. So there you go. We'll just put that away. Just put that little fun fact away. So yeah, it's, you know, there are times when I just feel like I'm not, that I'm from another planet, because it's like, oh, these are what healthy people do. These are what the humans do. They visit their dead. They don't just pretend they didn't exist. Oh, that's nice. Isn't that? Let me take pictures of this massive sociological experiment called humanity. Okay, I'll do that. Yep. So, you know, while I'm walking around checking out your world, your society, your rules, there was some great furniture in there too. I know, you're thinking, wait, the mausoleum had cool furniture? Yes. So many great vintage sofas, as well as just like crappy grandma chairs. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, cemeteries have benches. And this is a place where people donate their furniture so you can sit and stare at a plaque. And yeah, I really will have to post photos on Twitter. It's just, it was only dreamy to me. And that's just fine because I'm going to Paris. And I'm trying to also distract my cat and not make this be a two-hour-long episode. So while I was walking around on your planet Earth in the deep underground lairs of the dead, this pudgy white ginger beardo walks up to me and I almost said my real name there, and addressed me by my, said, "Hey, Rose." And I look up and I'm like, who is this generic, you know, the kind of guy that you see on every beer ad sitting on a patio holding a beer, and he's got his plaid shirt on and his beard. He's, you know, he's that guy. He's all of those guys, all of them. Only he looks down his nose when he talks, and it's not because he's wearing bifocals. That's just his way. So that is like approaching me and addressing me by name like I should know him. And I'm just like, and I know I was giving resting aggressive bitch face because it was that. It was like a Michelob ad come to life. Come on. What the fuck do I need with that addressing me? Well, I'm investigating your world in the lair of the dead, god damn it, with such, oh, that orange modern sofa, so fucking cute. Anyway, the dead people really do have style. So yeah, so Beardo goes like, "Hey, Rose." And I'm like, "Hey, where do I know you from?" And he mentions, you know, blah, blah, the pan, blah, blah, book club. And I knew that there was one book club that I didn't, anyway, that I started and didn't go to, but I got confused, like, it's not that. And then he said, no, the white people, and that was the name of the novel that we read. And it was the novel that he had suggested because he was doing a documentary on the author. So yeah, the only two times he ever came to that book club was the week before to discuss one book, so that way then he could suggest this book that he was doing a documentary about the following week, showed up late to discuss the book that he picked, and then he's never come back to that book club again. So, you know, he's forgettable in that Beardo Michelob kind of arrogant white dude way. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Now I remember. And he's like, oh, is the book club still going? Like, yes, it did somehow manage to continue without your rarefied presence, Mr. Look Down Your Nose, fuckity beardo fuck. And so I, you know me, get me started talking about book clubs and I'll start going. So I did. I just fucking prattled like, oh, yeah, we read this, 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 and now we're doing this, this, this. And last week we discussed the book that I picked out. And he's like, oh, so I was like, oh, is Doris Lessing the Fifth Child? He's like, oh, how was that? And I was like, it was great, blah, blah, blah. And then she went this follow, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just fucking Nurse Nancy library railed him. I don't know what that means. It just, there you go. It's what I did. I Nurse Nancy library railed him. Thank you. There in the lair of the dead. So that was that run in. And then I kept going. And then, you know, I'm walking around taking more pictures. And when I say taking pictures, I'm not using my phone. I actually have like a nice camera on a strap like, I'm like that nerdo. There was this other, at least one other guy there with a tripod. So, and I was like, it's a great day. And he's like, yeah, it is. And we're like, yes, we're, this is our life. Gabba gabba hey. So then I kept walking, and I had seen this like real little girl. She's like 4 foot tall. I mean, she's not really that short. She's not like my favorite hatchet face little person that I haven't seen in a while. It's not shorty. It's not tiny. But she's like, you know, like Janine Garofalo height. Like she's like barely, she's not 5 foot tall and very, very petite, dyed black hair, face piercings, you know, sleeveless cut, you know, t-shirt of like some metal or punk band and like, you know, torn jeggings or whatever. She's just like this little punk metal chick. And I saw her like pass by earlier and was like, yeah, she's in her safe space too. And didn't think anything of it. And then when I was walking around again, she approaches me and she's like, hey, you know, and I think she even said my name. And I did the same thing, like, and where do I know you from? And she's like, from Addis. And I'm like, oh, yeah. She works at the dispensary I go to. So, yeah, my little dispensary barista, or whatever you would call them, was there with her family. And we're like, isn't this a great, it's the same thing like me and Tripod Dude. It's like me with like punk metal chick. Like, isn't this the perfect day? Like, this is like, we're so happy in our safe space. And again, like the eighth floor lair of the dead. Ugh, so serene, so weird, so strange. And so, yes, we were like all excited and she was like, oh, let me give you a hug. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to break you. It was like hugging air. It was like hugging air and pickup sticks, you know, with a little clang clang of the metal face. So that was very sweet. Yeah. So life's horrible. And I still, you know, I found a safe space with the dead. Let me confront that fear of death. And I don't have a fear of death. Oh, let's just not even go into all that. Who gives a shit? So, and then Tuesday, I know this is like Friday. Don't worry. I'm not going to tell you every fucking day up to today what I did. Okay? Jesus. Did I not mention the fact that I used all 3 washing machines yesterday and did my laundry? My God. And I took a shower and washed my hair. I know, it was a 2 for a fucking day. And today I'm going for a fucking walk. Why? Because I'm going to Paris. But anyway, Tuesday, I was going to go out for a play date with my friend here, who I hang out with. And, but it was a crummy weather day. She and I haven't gotten out and had a fun play date in a while because of working and weather and all of that kind of thing. And here we were going to have a play date, but the weather was for shit. So instead we dropped stuff off at Goodwill and went out to lunch at Bob's Red Mill. Cause apparently we had to go to places that rhymed. That was the goal for Tuesday. It was a 2 for Tuesday, Goodwill, Bob's Red Mill. Thank you very much. Good night. Yeah, it's just, I mean, we looked around Goodwill too, and I was like, I can't buy anything because I'm going to Paris. Although I could buy something, like I need something to sleep in at night, besides the, you know, one thing I have, because it's going to get hot and disgusting soon. I'm going to want more than one or two things to get hot and sweaty in, because I'm not going to want to use all 3 washing machines every single fucking day. No, thank you very much. But yeah, it was just nice having time with my friend and going to Bob's Red Mill. How do I explain Bob's Red Mill? You've got a computer. You can look up Bob's Red Mill. It is that. It is shelves and shelves of grain, which is his product. And also gluten-free and stuffed baked goods, which is very helpful for my friend and her health, and vegan pastries. And I was so good and didn't get any dessert there at all because I'm going to Paris. I had the best fucking Philly cheesesteak kind of sandwich, and it's like bread made from their grains that they make themselves. Like, it's just, it's so good and so plain. Oh, I just loved it. It was just, it's like a real geriatric crowd, and it's just, it was wonderful. So, and we had never been there before. I don't know, like, I can never think of places to go eat because I never, you know, I don't go out and spend money on doing that kind of thing. But this was some place that I had really wanted to go to because I knew it was going to be exactly what it was, and it was what I wanted to see. But it's the kind of thing that's hard to, like, sell to somebody. Like, hey, I think it'd be really great to go to this restaurant made by this guy that has this grain company, and then he also has a restaurant. Like, you want to go? Cool, right? Let's look at bags of beans. But that's why my friend is awesome, because she was like, oh my God, thank you so much for suggesting this. I never would have known this is here. And like, she can get wheat-free pancakes there or something. And it's like, I mean, you can get shit like that all over Portland, but it's at a gross hipster vibe, icky place. This is where like mom and dads go, but you can still get like super healthy as well as vegan stuff. It's just, it was perfect. It was just like no attitude, no vibe, just generic, just bags of beans and really good Philly cheesesteak. It was just, that's Bob's Red Mill. So yeah, that was my Tuesday. And then I don't know, I'm sure I did stuff the other days. Did I mention the laundry? Yeah. So that's it. That's all. I'm gonna go. Maybe I'll run into my little metal friend today, because I'm going to go down to the dispensary, which is a nice walk. I did another walk today, not today, this week, like a good 3 mile walk, and to go to a coffee shop to sit and read. And I just got something to drink and sat there and realized I don't really want to be in here reading with these people, having these conversations. I'm realizing I just don't like people. Yeah, there you go. I just don't like people. The people that I like, I really, really like. Like, I'm so in this next month book club in Hollywood. Fuck. Stabby, stabby. It's the month where they're going to the Chinese restaurant afterwards. So it's going to be like actually conversational time with these people that I've been doing book club with. And I'm so excited because I'm so curious about some of these people. And I really love Nancy and would like to somehow make her be my friend. I don't know the appropriate adult way to do that. I guess you just let time do its thing. Look at that. We'll see. And I really enjoyed hanging out with my friend this week. And I enjoy hanging out with Spike when I see him, and other friends when I see them. But by and large, I just fucking can't stand people. And, you know, as long as I don't behave inappropriately, I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that I can't fucking stand people. Because they stab. What are we gonna do, people? Shit is hitting the fan. It's not good. I'm not enjoying it. But I'm going to Paris! Okay. I'll end on that note because it kind of seems optimistic. I hate people, but I'm going to Paris. Yep, good enough for me. Bye.